Romans chapter 8, let's stand together tonight while we read the Word of God together. Romans chapter 8, stand together, look at Romans 8, verse number 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sore? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be seated tonight. This chapter is probably one of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. I want to focus tonight, if I can, on Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. The Bible said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I've been preaching about Bible questions, and I've been going through the Word of God. And I noticed that the most questions that have been asked in the Bible have been asked by God himself. There are two chapters in the book of Job that contain question after question. I think probably the greatest questions are those that have been asked by God in the Scripture by the penman of God's holy word. And this question is one I'd like to focus on at least for a little while tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, we come tonight, and Lord, we give this service over to your hands. That, Lord, I know that you know all about what we need tonight. I thank you, God, that you are pleased with what is going on here today. I thank you, Lord, that you smiled upon us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you show us your favor again tonight. And God, give us favor with thee and with men. And help us, Lord, tonight to glorify and magnify the one that is the theme of all of the Bible. I thank you, Lord, tonight for this question and how thought-provoking it is. I pray that you'd set meat on the table from the book of Romans tonight. And I ask you, God, to feed our souls that we might worship tonight, and then also that we might work tomorrow. Oh, God, give us help so we might work for you and be servants, and not unprofitable servants, but profitable servants, I pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for all the good things you did in our hearts this morning. And I pray that you'd give glory and victory and power and the blessing of God tonight. Help us, Lord, as we open up the Scripture. May you open our hearts and use us tonight, Lord, to make much of the one who died for us on Calvary's cross, that rose from the grave and is coming again. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. For we ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe this chapter tonight, Romans chapter 8, if the Scripture, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, were likened unto a landscape, I believe that Romans chapter 8 would be Mount Everest. I believe tonight that it juts up on the landscape of Scripture as one of the highest peaks in the Word of God. And you could meditate for days. In fact, many days you could spend in this chapter alone, just going from trove to trove and finding nugget and gem and jewels from verse to verse and from section to section in this passage, I believe that we can find the deep and the wonderful and the rich truths of God's precious word for you and I. Now, I believe tonight that some of the greatest themes and truths in the word of God concerning the Christian life and what we have in Christ is found here in Romans chapter number 8. I believe tonight that one of those themes is the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. Romans 8:9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It shall be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And tonight, the Holy Spirit's ministry is magnified in Romans chapter 8. In fact, it is connected with the work of sanctification with the believer. In chapter 6, Paul gives us the principles of sanctification. In chapter 7, he gives to us the problem in sanctification. And that problem is this old nature and the carcass or the tabernacle in which it lives tonight. Then in chapter number 8, he gives us the power of sanctification, which is the indwelling Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad tonight, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that I've got the leadership of God's Holy Spirit. I'm glad God's not left me in this world to be in this world all by myself. I'm glad he didn't save me and say, well, look in that direction and just try to get home the best way you can. I'm glad he put a spiritual GPS on the inside of my soul and put the word of God in my hand tonight. I'm glad I've got the wonderful leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. And then not only that tonight, I'm glad I've got the liberty of God's Spirit. The Bible said we've not received, verse 15, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I'm glad tonight the Holy Ghost has freed me, hallelujah, from sin and from Satan's bondage and from the scourge of the law and the penalty of the law. I'm thankful tonight for the labor of God's Spirit. In verse 16, the Bible said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the truth of the indwelling Spirit is a great truth in this chapter. And then there's the inheritance of the believer. The Bible said you and I are heirs and joint heirs. Yeah. That is that you and I are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. An heir is a person who has an inheritance. Say amen right there. Now I'm glad the Bible said that inheritance is laid up in heaven for me, and it's incorruptible and undefiled, and that it fadeth not away. Now earthly people may cut you out of the will. They may say, I'm done with you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You can't have my lamb. You can't have my barn. You can't have my milk cows. You can't have my goats, whatever they want to give you. Oh, but I'm thankful tonight. My Heavenly Father has laid up an inheritance for me. Now, I've not come into my inheritance yet, but thank God I'm sure that when the trumpet sounds and I leave from this world, hallelujah, I'm going to walk right into it and enjoy it tonight. Hallelujah. And then there's the infinite love of Christ. We read about it, verses 35 through verse 30. And God tells us there's nothing in all the realm of nature, nothing visible or invisible, nothing demonic or divine that can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That love tonight is an incomparable love. It's greater than any love that exists in the human breasts that are in this building tonight. There is no love in all the world that you can compare to the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that love is an inseparable love. Oh, men and women, their love in this world seems to be a changing love, a mortal love, a fickle love. They love you one year and hate you the next year. They love you one week and hate you the next week. Oh, I'm glad there's somebody that loves me tonight. And thank God he'll love me tomorrow. And he'll love me next week. And he'll love me next month. And he'll love me next year. And while the ceaseless ages roll, I've got the confidence tonight there's a Savior. Hallelujah, that loves me and will continue to love me. And so this chapter tonight, Romans chapter 8, begins with a great therefore. Amen. A great therefore. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. And up to this point and throughout the book of Romans, that the word therefore punctuates this great epistle in the Bible. Look in Romans chapter 3, and it punctuates the first three chapters. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And what Paul has done is he's taken the first three chapters that tell them that, first of all, the heathen were lost because they rejected the revelation of God in creation. In chapter 2, he told them that the hypocrites were lost, those that professed to have something that they did not have. And then he tells them in chapter 3, as well as chapter 2, that the Hebrews were lost, even though they had the scripture and the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob had handed over them the word of God. They knew about God's word, but they didn't know the God and the author of the Bible. And then he tells us in chapter 3 that the whole world is lost. I'm glad I found out one day that I was lost, because when I found out I was lost, I found out I could get saved. Oh, bless his name tonight. There is the therefore of condemnation in Romans chapter 3. And then in Romans chapter 8, there's the therefore of no condemnation. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight in the courtroom of God, if you could find my record, it would read paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. If you could see me like he sees me tonight, you would see me in Christ in a robe of righteousness. Thank God, not in the rags of my tattered self-righteousness. But if you'd see me tonight, you would see me not condemned. Thank God, justified in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, there is another therefore. The Bible said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so there's the therefore of condemnation. And there's the therefore of no condemnation. And then there's the therefore of complete dedication. Paul said, hand over now. Hand over your body. Listen now, don't tell me people can't see your heart. We already know that. What they see is the body. God saves you, body, soul, and spirit, but he displays his glory and his purpose to the world in your body. That's why you've got to dedicate it entirely to the Lord. And so when we come to this section in Romans chapter 8, y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. All right, when we come to this section in Romans chapter 8, I find through going through these verses that there are 8 questions in this section of Romans chapter 8. If you will, look at these questions in Romans 8, starting in verse number 24. The Bible said, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And so that's the first question. The scripture said, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Question number 2, look in verse 31 tonight. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say then to these things that involve the eternal purpose of God? Number 3, the Bible said in the same verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? Number 4, the Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Question number 4. Number 5, verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Number 6, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? Number 7, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then number eight, Romans 8:35, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. So tonight there are 8 questions in this section of the Bible. 8 questions in this passage from verse 24 to the end of the chapter. Now you know if you study the Bible that the number 8 is the number of new beginning. But also 3 in the Bible is God's number. It's the number of the Trinity, and it's also the number of divine perfection. I believe tonight that you and I can see in this third question how all 3 persons of the Trinity are for us. In verses 26 and the near context, we find out that the Spirit of God is for us. In verse 31, we find out in the near context that God the Father is for us. And in verse 35, we found out that the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. And so in this third question, God delivers in the masterpiece of Romans chapter 8 how that God is for us. I don't know about you, honey, but I take great comfort in this world. I take great comfort in this life through the battles of life that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are for me tonight. I'm glad I'm not alone in this world. I've got somebody that's my backer. I've got somebody that's my indweller. I've got somebody that's all around me tonight. I'm glad the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. And so we're focusing in on the third question from Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, number one, let's say it in this order. God the Father is for us. Paul said here, if God be for us, who can be against us? And that word if is not an if of possibility or failure. It's an if that provides assurance, because every believer can rest in the fact tonight that God, your Heavenly Father, is for you tonight. No, when I look at this passage, I can never fathom in my mind how a holy God, how the God of glory, is interested in a fallen, sinful man like myself. Oh, but I'm so glad to be able to report to you tonight. And if you're saved, God the Father is for you tonight. Isn't it wonderful to know that, my friend, there's a holy God? And it boggles my mind that God, in His holiness, condemns my pattern of life as a sinner outside of Christ. But God, in His love, has devised a plan whereby guilty and estranged sinners have those cut off by the fall of man and by their own disobedience. That God has devised a plan whereby you and I can know tonight that He's interested in every one of us tonight. Amen. Now tonight, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom He did foreknow. Now circle that word, or if you will, mark it in your Bible. The key word in this section is the word foreknow. Now don't get nervous. Don't get nervous about the word foreknow. You say, preacher, are you a hyper-Calvinist? No, I might be hyper, but I'm certainly not a Calvinist. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. I never have been one, not one tonight. Hadn't been one yesterday. Don't plan to be one tomorrow. But simply stated tonight, the word foreknow simply states that God knew what you and I would be, yet He was still interested in us. Oh, my soul. Oh, Lord. Thank God. I'm about to have a shouting spell. I said, God already knew what we were. He knew what we were going to be. You say, preacher, can you untangle that? I'm not trying to. I'm just enjoying it tonight. I'm not trying to explain it. I'm just enjoying it. I'm saying tonight that God knew what you were. And not only that, He knew what you would become. And He knew what you could be. Hallelujah. And let me say tonight, God is interested in every one of us here tonight. I'm glad He has an interest in me tonight, for whom He did foreknow. You say, preacher, do you believe God knew you? Absolutely. In fact, I don't believe there's a person in the sound of my voice that God did not know. God was infinitely, and God tonight was completely interested in mankind. It doesn't matter if you're on the left side of the tracks or the right side of the tracks. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you come from the bottom of the barrel or if you thought you were the cream on top. Oh, no, sir. I'm telling you tonight about a God that was interested in you before Adam drew his first breath. There was a God that was interested in you before the rays of the sun kissed the flowers of the field. There was a God that was interested in you before Adam took his lovely bride and walked through the paradise of Eden's garden and looked at every beautiful flower and enjoyed the beauty of God's nature. I want to tell you something. There was a God who already had seen you down through the annals of time. There was a God who was interested in you. And God tonight is still interested in us tonight. Amen. And I say to you tonight, before creation, He was interested in you. Before He ever made this world, He was interested in you. Now this will get big on you if you let it tonight. And if you're interested in going to the Whataburger, you can go ahead and leave now. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you tonight, this is getting big to you. If you let God help you tonight, before creation, God was interested in you. Before the curse of the fall, God was interested in you. The Lord knew that Adam and his race would fall. And he knew, my friend, that we would rebel and reject and we would run from him all the days of our life. He knew some of us would be cursers and blasphemers and drunkards and dope heads. He knew some of us would scrape the bottom of the barrel. Oh, but I marvel tonight at a God so holy, a God tonight so holy would be so interested in somebody like me. I'm amazed tonight at the God of glory and knew what I would be. And yet he looked out across time and he said, I'll send my son. I'll let him die on an old rugged cross. I'm interested in that individual. I'm interested in him. And thank God tonight, he's still interested tonight. Now, God knew that the law could not save us. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. God knew that the arrangement at Sinai was not designed to save us. Oh no, never has been a law that would save anybody. Nobody got saved by the law, and nobody got saved because of the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin, not the forgiveness of sin. And all that law at Sinai thundered out, and just as then they were afraid. Oh my friend, but something happened. God knew that the law could not save us. And so he sent his darling son and became the incarnate son of God and entered into the realm of humanity and lived the perfect life and died a death on the cross. And you say, preacher, why? That's so he could pay the sin debt. Because God was interested in you. I say to you tonight, God is still interested in you tonight. Amen. Then not only is he interested in us, but the Bible teaches us that he has invested in us. Amen. Verse 32 said, in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up. Notice this here in the Bible. This knocks the Calvinist in the head for us all. The Calvinists teach that there's a limited atonement and that Jesus only died for people that would believe the gospel. Now, I want to tell you this. This Bible said in more than this passage that Jesus Christ died for the entire world. Will the entire world get saved? No. They won't repent and believe the gospel. But Jesus Christ tonight has died. God has invested in us. The beauty of heaven was the darling Son of God. He was purity's whitest peak. He was the pearl of paradise. He was the glory of the celestial city tonight. Oh, the beloved of the Father and the best heaven had to offer. And you say, what did he come to die for? He come to die the best for the worst. Oh, my soul tonight, I'm glad God gave heaven's best so you and I, hallelujah, could have the payment for our sin. I'm saying tonight, God the Father is for us tonight. Amen. Now, the exchange is this. The Bible said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up, notice this, for us all. That is, the rate of exchange is this, is that the medium of exchange for our redemption was God's son for all sinners. Oh my. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying tonight. Our sister was talking about the ransom this morning. Oh, a wonderful biblical truth. How that God's son became my payment and became my substitute. And God the Father spared not his own son, the Bible said, so that he might exchange his perfection for my rejection. Hallelujah. I said he exchanged his perfection for my rejection. He exchanged, my friend, my condemnation for his salvation. He took my rags and he gave me his riches. He took my guilt and he gave me his grace. Oh, my soul, I'm telling you tonight, it's wonderful to know that God was willing to give his son on my behalf. We receive the payment that is made by Christ's blood. And thank God through that, God has invested a lot in you and I. You say, preacher, they ain't worth nothing. Well, just back up a little bit. Now, everybody that's ever been born in this world's worth a whole lot because Jesus died for them. and he gave his life for them. And when we trusted Christ to save us from hell, the finished work became ours. His payment became our ransom and release from the condemnation of sin. At the very moment the books were balanced and I was released, I was released from the debt of sin. And my friend, if you look at my record there in the courtroom of God, it's marked paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. I'm telling you, not God has. Hallelujah! He's not only interested in us, he's invested, hallelujah, in my life. That's why, one of the reasons why it's so important that you live right, not become a stumbling block. Somebody's watching you, but Jesus died for you. He paid the price for you. He's got a purpose for your life. And that's not to warm up a 21-inch space on the pew and look confused and sad and bewildered all the time. God's got a purpose for your life. And that doesn't mean to come in and sit around trying to look sanctimonious either. God's purpose for your life is to make you like His Son that He gave for you. And He's interested in you. And He's invested in you. And then God has eternal intent. Intentions for your life. Now look at your Bible, if you will. Romans chapter 8, if you will, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Now God is not going to condemn me because I've already accepted the blood payment for my sin. Christ is not going to condemn me tonight because he lives inside of me now that I took him as my Savior. But God's intention for us is a greater purpose for us than just to keep us out of hell. God tonight, hallelujah, has an eternal purpose for us. Now, justification is really important. The case that God had against me has now been canceled. It's like going to court tomorrow and knowing you are guilty as a convict. Didn't have a lawyer and didn't have a plea. And you showed up in court knowing you were headed for jail. And you got there, and if this happened to a friend of mine, and he got there to court, knew his guilt as a junkyard dog. He was a man that had worked in a certain type of business, that he had worked for one of the lawyers that were in the courtroom that day. This man looked across the courtroom and saw him when he stood up to give his answer, whether he had an attorney or not. And this man stood up and said, Your Honor, said, I'll take his case. Hallelujah. I'll take his case. And he stepped up and he went over to that lawyer and he whispered in his ear and he said, I don't have any money. He said, don't worry about it. I said, I'd take your case. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul. And when it's all said and done, he got off that day. Why? It's because he had an advocate. He had somebody step in on his behalf. And thank God, friend, one day I went to court. I was guilty as a junkyard dog. But thank God the Son stood up on my behalf and he spoke on my behalf and he took my case. I'm glad to be able to say tonight he's never lost a case. Oh yes, tonight. That's why I'm justified. Hallelujah. Justified. The Bible said I'm justified. It is God that justified. Now I know a lot of times we talk about pardon and justification and we use those terms interchangeably. But in the strictest sense, you and I that are saved are not pardoned. A person who is pardoned is released, though guilty, without recompense. That means there is an acknowledgement by the court that they, yes, they have been guilty, but they have been released from the consequences of their crimes, even though there's recognized guilt. But that is not what justification is. Justification is far greater than that. Pardon carries with it the lingering idea that the offender is still guilty and they are released through clemency. But mercy and grace are not clemency. They are terms that belong to God Himself. Hallelujah. Justification is what God has declared about me tonight. Now you say, preacher, how are you justified? I want to show you. Look in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Number one, I have been justified when I had nothing to offer God. I have been justified, hallelujah, freely by His grace. Did you know that you had nothing to offer God anyhow? but that God freely justified you by grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then secondly, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, I have been justified not only by grace, but also Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by grace, justified by faith. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, it's almost like you're talking about how I got saved. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you got justified freely by His grace. You remember that story that the Lord told and illustrating the importance of forgiveness? How He talked about how two debtors came to Him. And one was like a $10 debtor, and I'm using common terms now, not telling you what the Bible said. One was like a $10 debtor and one was like a $1,000 debtor. And when He saw that they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them both. Though God saw all of us in the same shape. At some of you were $10 debtors. At some of you were $10,000 debtors. Oh, but thank God, the Bible said He frankly, He freely, hallelujah, out of the goodness of His heart and out of the grace that He gave them, He frankly forgave them both and justified them just like that, the Bible said. Amen. Now, not only freely by His grace and also by faith, but the Bible said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, there's another part of our justification. We'll deal with this a little bit more later on. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified by grace. Justified by faith. Justified by blood. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, think about it for just a minute. Take Leviticus and take Hebrews. Take Leviticus by this hand and Hebrews by this hand. Because every offering for sin in the Old Testament that dealt with sin, every Old Testament offering that dealt with sin required the offering of blood. There were all types of animals. There's the turtle dove, there's the ox, there's the goat, there's the sheep. And all these animals are a picture of Jesus Christ. You know tonight that Jesus Christ was predicted by God to die on an old rugged cross. And He shed His blood. And He took that cross and He made it an altar. And He poured out His red, rich, royal, redeeming blood so you and I could have forgiveness and be restored back to fellowship and be justified in the sight of God. Let me break it down just a little bit farther. To be justified means to be declared righteous in the sight of God. It means that God has taken your guilt and imputed it to Christ. And with Christ's blood, God has washed your sins away and placed Christ's righteousness on you. So that now you're not standing any longer condemned in Adam's race, but justified. Why? Because now you're in Christ and you have been credited with His righteousness and washed in His blood. My. We ought to holler hallelujah and take a shout and break on that right there. Oh yes, why? Because now, sometimes we fail to recognize this. It doesn't matter what was in your past or what you have done. There may be somebody here tonight that at one time you took somebody's life. I don't know. None of you have confessed it to me, and I'm glad you haven't. There may be some of you that have dark, black deeds and in the memory of your past. No, but I want to tell you tonight, if you've been justified there in the courtroom of God, He doesn't see you as one who used to be a drunkard or one who used to be a dope head or one that used to be a prostitute or somebody used to be a wild individual. No, He sees you in the darling Son of God, justified, hallelujah, clothed in the righteousness of God, hallelujah, tonight. It's wonderful. The provision has been furnished through the work of Christ. God has justified you and I. Isn't it wonderful tonight to know you've been justified? And you and I that are saved tonight have been made to realize that the case of sin against us has been canceled. Then God has promised, in being for us, God has promised to take care of us the rest of our days. Now I'm ashamed many times that I doubt that the Lord is going to take care of me, aren't you? The Bible said in verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now God has already met the greatest need that you ever had. God has already forgiven your sins, saved your soul, put you in the realm of justification, put the Holy Spirit inside of you, given you, hallelujah, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And God is working on your behalf tonight, so much so, hallelujah, that you're surrounded by the infinite love of Christ, and that love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I want to tell you this, God has signed on to be the one that takes care of you for the rest of your days. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, listen now. He that spared not his own son, God has already given you the very best that he could possibly give you in giving you Christ. But also along with that, he has given you the promise that he will take care of you for the rest of your days. Now, I don't know about you, honey, but in this crazy, hazy, mixed up, unpredictable world, I'm glad I don't have to put my faith in the government to take care of me. Listen now, there have been pension plans, retirement plans that have been drained by fraud, and people have lost their entire savings and their entire investments because those who were the caretakers and the stewards of it were con men, crooks, and wicked and vile individuals. And there are those that have lost their entire retirement and savings because of the con men and crooks in this world. Oh, but I want to tell you what tonight, you can't touch what I've God that's taking care of me, and you can't hinder the one tonight that's promised to carry me through to the rest of my days. He's promised tonight to take care of me and to provide for me all the things. Isn't that what the Bible said? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You say, preacher, how's God going to do that? I guess that's where you're hung up most of the time, isn't it? How's the Lord going to supply my needs when he wants me to give him this percentage of my income? How am I going to live off the rest of it? Well, I tell you, if you put God to the test, he'll take care of your needs. Amen. Yes, he will. Oh, you say, preacher, how in the world am I going to invest my life in God's work and give my entire life? Let me tell you something. Listen, you've trusted already a God that you cannot see to give you what you cannot touch, and to take you to some place that you've never seen. Oh, my soul tonight. But thank God, I believe the one who made heaven for me and who saved me and promised to take me to heaven is going to provide for my needs from here all the way to the house. I'm glad tonight I've got a God. It's so good. He's going to take care of me along the way. Do you believe that text? And I know there's some conditions to it, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You believe that text? I certainly believe it. I've certainly seen God do it over and over again. And I'll tell you this, I've had people say, preacher, we can't afford to tithe, we're going to the poorhouse. Let me tell you this, honey, I've seen a whole lot of folks come up and down the road since I've been saved. I've seen a whole lot of them rob God and treat God like he could not be trusted. Oh, but I want to tell you, honey, on April 25th, 1982, I put it all in his hands. And I said, Jesus, I'll take you if you'll take me like I am, just as I am without one plea. I came to him. I trusted the most valuable thing that I had. And he promised me that he's going to take care of me all the way from here to there. Boy, I've seen him do it time and time again. I know that God is for me. Hallelujah. I know tonight that he's, hallelujah, my spiritual savior. He's my spiritual father. He's my financial backer. And thank God the daily provision is no problem to him. There's nothing too hard for God. There may be some things too hard for me to comprehend. And there may be some things that I can't figure out. But there's nothing too hard for him tonight. I've got a God that can take care of me. And he's been doing a good job. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not starving to death. Thank God one of these days, the one who saved me is going to take me to the very place where he promised to provide it for me. But along the way, I'm glad tonight that he's doing a good job. God the Father is for me, and his continual provision is certain. Now you think about this. You think about all those that came along before you that were living in days there was no governmental programs. Apostle Paul couldn't lean on no Social Security. You say, you like Social Security? I don't know much about it. I will tell you this, it's going to be broke for long. Yeah. Because the people that are holding on to it are the same liars you voted for at the ballot box. When you put a crook with their hand in the cookie jar, you're going to find out you ain't got no cookies after a while. Oh, yeah. You put a piranha in a bowl of goldfish, and you're going to have one piranha left after a while. That's exactly right. But I'll tell you this, honey, I've got a God that's looking out for me. I got a God that's taking care of me. And He knows where I'm going to lay my head down tonight. He knows what I need before I ask Him for it. He knows my thoughts before I think them and my deeds before I do them. And my words before I say them. Oh, yeah. He knows the hairs on my head. And God knows then as many as they were years ago. Amen. But I'm glad He knows the smallest things about me and the largest problems that burden me. He knows the battles that I face and the blessings that I count. He knows the backlash of the devil's work in my life. Oh, but hallelujah tonight. He's promised to take care of me. Hallelujah. And I'm glad tonight that before all these things come along and before we all had all these ideas in our mind. And, you know, it's a very complicated process nowadays. Now, I wonder if you'd asked Lydia years ago in Acts 16, Lydia, how do you expect to make it from here to the house? I believe she'd have said, well, the one who met me down there at that prayer meeting down there at the river, when Paul came out there and shared with me the gospel of Jesus Christ, I just believe that one who took care of the greatest problem I had, that's going to be the same one that's going to see me through till I cross the last hill and see the last sunset. I believe there's a God tonight that's going to carry me through. I believe there's someone tonight that, thank God, His infinite thoughts about me. He's interested in me. He has me on His mind and on His heart. He's carried me up to His Father today and called out my name. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that I've got a God that I can trust tonight. Now, I want to be trustworthy toward Him, but I'm glad that He's for me tonight. I wrote this scripture in my notes, and I want to give it to you before I close. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, the purpose of God for your life is for you to be conformed to the image of Christ. And through test of your faith and trials of your life, and even through trouble, God is conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Some of us, He has the water on us as clay, and some of us, He is molding in a very easy way to conform us. Some of us, we are fighting against the one who has His hands on our life. One of these days, I want to be a vessel in honor, and I want to be something that He can be proud of as a trophy of His grace. But this one that is my Heavenly Father, He is for me. There are times He takes me to the woodshed. There are times that He calls me aside and He chastens me. The Bible said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He rebukes me for my failures, and He chastens me and disciplines me as one of His children. But I'm glad that He does, because when He does, He reminds me that I belong to Him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, He reminds me that I'm His. He doesn't whip the devil's children, but He does whip His own children. And I'm glad tonight that the one who saved me and took me into His family has promised that He's going to care for me until I get to heaven. There's a lot of days, and I pray over things, and honestly, they seem to get bigger than I am. Maybe you don't encounter this, and I begin to pray, and the burden gets heavier, and it seems like I am stifled, or I am stymied a little bit by what I perceive to be a great problem ahead of me. But I want to tell you this tonight. The God who saved you has never seen a mountain too big to move. Amen. And the God who has brought you this far down the journey. I was thinking about what Brother Wells was preaching about on Sunday night, about how his life and how his mother had given him away. Yeah. I was thinking about my wife and some of these others that had a little bit of a troubled childhood. Many others. As far as I know, there were no preachers in his family until now, Brother Wells and then Brother Andy. But isn't it remarkable what God's grace can do? Isn't it remarkable what the Lord can do in a person's life? Bringing them into a relationship with Himself and then beginning to work on them and conform them to His image. And maybe even somebody like myself who in school was not even a good student at all. and save that individual and begin to work in their life to give them a hunger for the Word of God. And here, maybe you come from a background that a lot of people probably maybe have said that you were most likely to fail or to recede, not succeed. But thank the Lord tonight. Here you see a trophy of God's grace. And there may be high mountains in front of you. There may be heavy burdens on your heart. But I tell you one thing you don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about whether or not God is for you tonight. You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about whether God the Father is against you tonight. He's not. He's very much for you. And let's stand tonight with our heads bowed. And you just keep these things in your heart. Let God use them to speak to you as you trust Him with your life.